is a very good afternoon. It's Niall Boylan with you for the next couple of hours or so. Don't forget, stick with us, by the way, and go to our website. If you want to just listen to the show live rather than watching it, you can go to our website, nileboylan.com. We do stream the audio live there. Some people find it easier to do if you're busy working or you can't watch it at the moment, but you can listen to it live there. There is a live player. Don't forget, hit the notification button on it and you'll get notified every single day of what topic we're doing and when the live player starts. Remember, the live player works each day between 12 and 2 o'clock, and also at night we play a lot of the older shows on the live player at 9 o'clock to midnight every single night. So please go to the live player. Don't forget, by the way, please support the show. It's now coming towards the end of the month. We get all our bills in. It's not that easy to pay them all. Thank you to everybody who subscribes to us and everybody who donates. It still isn't quite enough to pay the bills. We don't like putting our hands in our pocket too much. We don't get paid for doing this. So please do support us. We give you this platform every day. This week we've talked about immigration. We've talked about the EU Migration Pact. We've talked about the hate speech laws. All the things that are important to you, as well as talking about some social dilemmas as well. So please try and support the show. Remember, there's a lot of things you can come on the air and say uncensored that you will never be able to say on any other media. You won't get on the Joe Duffy Show and say these things. You won't get these topics covered the way they're covered on the Joe Duffy Show. We bring on the right people, the politicians, the guests, the experts and everybody to try and satisfy your knowledge and make you critically think about how the government are running this country. So please do support us. You can easily support us by going to our Twitter right now, clicking on Buy Me a Coffee. You could donate on the website, a fiver to 5 million, whatever you can afford. Or you can subscribe to the show. And all you got to do, once again, is just go to the website, nileboylan.com. Now, first on the show today, drinking. Yeah, well, we're famous for that, aren't we? Certainly us Irish. And the former Fine Gael Justice Minister has added his voice to those concerned about the new proposed late-night licensing laws. The Irish Examiner reported last week that the Road Safety Authority, the RSA, had expressed concerns that a plan to allow nightclubs and bars to open until 6 o'clock in the morning until 2:30 would lead to more road deaths. And Charlie Flanagan has said he's concerned that the government will try to ram through the legislation before the summer and the tourists get here. Now, the proposed sale of alcohol bill, which would allow nightclubs to open until 6 o'clock, will undoubtedly challenge public order and safety in Ireland and lead to public health problems, according to a consultant. Dr. Mary O'Mahony, who is a member of the Irish Medical Organisation Public Health Committee, said that a change in the licensing laws would increase violence on the streets, both in the home and out on our, should I say, both in the home and out on our streets. It will increase the consumption of alcohol and the harms of alcohol. She also said our population has a lot of harm from alcohol already, but increasing availability and the hours it can be sold will inevitably increase public order problems. In Ireland, we have one of the highest rates of alcohol consumption per capita in the world, and we need to reduce that, she added. This won't help. Our alcohol consumption per capita at the minute is about 9.9 litres. And if the average person was to adhere to the guidance, they would need to come down to about 6.8 litres per annum. That's per year, by the way, not per day, obviously. In 2021, we had 58,000 births in Ireland, and it's estimated that 500 of these babies had fetal alcohol syndrome. And another 2,700 were born with fetal alcohol spectrum disorder. And Dr. Mahony said the sale of alcohol bill should be subject to a public health impact assessment before becoming the law. Now, many other European countries allow all-night drinking and late-night opening, as you're well aware if you go away on holidays to Spain and places like that. Some of the bars and nightclubs don't close till 7 o'clock in the morning, then close when the last person leaves, essentially. But Ireland has always had very strict rules when it comes to late-night opening. And I suppose it's only been in the last decade that we made nightclub licences available. Up to that point, when I worked in the nightclub industry, there were no nightclub licences. Nightclubs operated on a restaurant or a hotel licence. That's why only nightclubs around were actually in hotels or restaurants. And they had to operate with a bar extension. They couldn't even open on a Sunday before 12 o'clock. Remember all that? Saturday after 12 o'clock, they were dodging the guards. But the nighttime economy has been hit hard over the last decade. And the very first time it was hit, of course, was the smoking ban. That damaged business somewhat. And then, of course, there are many other reasons. The cost of alcohol. Young people decided it was better to drink at home or have house parties. Of course, cocaine didn't help either because people were using cocaine rather than drinking alcohol. Music and the music culture played a role in the downfall of the nightclub industry. Because at the time, people were more interested in going to a nightclub for a dance and a drink was an option. Whereas now, you're going for the drink and the dance is an option. And also, of course, the fact that a lot of kids now go to college, whereas in our day, they didn't. They went straight to work and they had more disposable income. But the final nail in the coffin for the nightclub industry, of course, was COVID-19, where they closed for practically 2.5 years. That did a huge amount of damage. And I can only speak for Dublin because I live in Dublin, but if you're living around Limerick, Cork and Galway, you'd be well aware that the number of nightclubs has declined dramatically. In Dublin, we had more nightclubs per head of population than any other city in Europe at one stage. I think we had over 70 nightclubs just in Dublin alone back in the late 1980s and 1990s. Now we have 4 or 5. So that just shows you the big decline in the industry. It's a massive decline in the nighttime industry. And the nighttime industry is worth a lot of money and it keeps a lot of people employed. So it is important. But should they open later? Is this the answer to let them open till 6 in the morning? And would people really stay till 6 in the morning? What sort of people stay out till 6 o'clock in the morning? Drunks, I imagine. But let me know what you think. Would it be worth allowing the nightclubs to open till 6 in the morning and the bars till 2 in the morning? Would that be a good idea? Or do you think that would be a recipe for disaster? Let me know what you think by texting or WhatsApping right now on 085 100 2255. That's 085 100 2255. We want to get your comments and let us know what you think. Let me go to Carl first if I can. Carl, Carl, hi, how are you?
Me order a drink first, will you?
Carl, is it a good idea? Look, I don't know what age you are, but, you know, we remember the nightclubs when it was literally 2 o'clock and you were all kicked out on the street by half two at the latest.
Yeah, I remember they used to have to give you food in the nightclubs.
That's right, yeah.
They used to stay open to have a drink.
But that's because they operate on a restaurant license. They used to. They don't anymore. Yeah.
Look, I've lived in various parts of Europe during my life. I lived in France. I worked in France for 2 years and I've lived in Holland for 8 years. And I've done a lot of travelling in my life. I think it's a great idea to keep the bars open till 6 a.m. in the morning or the nightclubs, wherever it may be. For two simple reasons is. Firstly is that for people who work late shifts and when they finish, some of them like to have a drink. They can't socialise during the day because they're asleep. They're in work that night. So they're entitled to go and have a drink somewhere. That's one of the things.
You could make that argument about pretty much anything. You could say, well, shouldn't supermarkets be open? What about those people who work late? Shouldn't they be able to go shopping in the middle of the night? You could make that argument about everything.
24 hours a day.
There's very few of them.
Shops open.
Yeah, there are very few of them.
Yeah, but they are available. The second one is that when I worked in France, during the day, during our lunch break on work, we were allowed to consume alcohol, whether it be a bottle of wine or a pint of beer. Yeah. Not excessive amounts, but you were allowed to consume it. And I think the Irish culture is that they know the bar is going to close. So it's quick. Get 3 points in and 2 shots in or 2 whiskies in, whatever it may be, and scull it as quick as you can. Now, that used to be the case. I think a lot of people drink from home now. But it's excessive drinking in such a short space of time.
I remember when I was the DJ in the nightclub and the manager would come over to me at 10 to 12 or 10 to 2. And he'd say, do a quick slow set and tell them the bar is closing. And then you see all the lads running up to the bar. Yeah, give us 4 points there, you know. But they wouldn't drink them. They'd manage to scull 3 of them back and just leave one on the table before they'd leave. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's the thought of having no drink. But if these laws come in, they change. They'd be saying, well, what are we worrying for? We can pace ourselves through the night or through the early hours of the morning. We don't have to be excessive drinking or sculling points, as we'd say, you know. Take your time, and I think it will solve a lot of the problems. You won't see as many drunks or fights amongst young people, you know, because I'm not sculling the beer down, the alcohol down. That's my reason.
I remember arguing for this when I worked in the nightclub industry. Of course, I was a bit younger and maybe a bit more naive, and I argued for this because there was the talk of this at the time. And I remember there was a whole campaign going around at the time to try and get the nightclubs open later. And the argument at the time was that because every club closed at 2:30, you had thousands of people piling out of the streets from Club M and Break for the Border and where all those old clubs that were in town. And they'd be all in the middle of Dame Street boxing the heads off each other at 2:30, right? And the argument was, if you let the bar or the club open till whatever time they wanted, you know, up to 6 o'clock, they could decide what time they want to close at, up to 6 o'clock, they'd all close at different times and people would stagger out at different times and you wouldn't have that many people all at the one time in the middle of the street knocking the heads off each other. But you can't deny it, Carl. It'll cause a problem.
I don't think, even if they do change the laws, can you really see some of them might, you might see one or two of them staying open late, but most of them would shut because they have to think about, yeah, paying shift rate for the
Oh, yeah, it's the viability of opening. Yeah, is it worth opening? Yeah.
Yeah, like, I mean, by all means, change the law and see how it goes, you know. We're not going to, look, we're already known as a nation of drunks anyway.
You know? Well, we don't keep that reputation up. Well, actually, stay there. Let me go to Morris as well. Morris, hi, how are you?
Niall, how are you doing? Happy Easter weekend to you.
Easter weekend to you too. But Morris, here's the thing, right?
Yeah.
I mean, as Carl rightly said, we're known as a nation of drunks. Do we really need, you know, any more time to drink? We drink quite a lot as it is.
Yeah, well, you know, oh, Niall, sorry, I just come off 40 days in the desert. I give up alcohol for Lent, yeah?
Yeah.
So I'll have a drink on Easter Sunday. I'll have a little Jameson and I'll have a bottle of beer, a bottle of Guinness. And I'll celebrate, you know, for the people that's in it. But I was out last Saturday, I was telling your researcher, and I saw a guy queuing up outside an off-license at 10:30 with the shakes, go in and get a drink so he could settle himself. That's how bad it is, right? Then I went up on Sunday just to have a look. There was another gang waiting outside the off-license on a Sunday at 12:30 when he opened up to get their hands on the drink. So I should think to knock that on the head. Don't be opening up an off-license or, what do you call it, the early houses till 2 o'clock in the afternoon. No drink in Dublin until 2 o'clock in the afternoon. And that'll stop all that early drinking in the morning business. Early houses and that.
But Morris, you're talking about the minority. People that you're not seeing queuing up outside an off license looking for beer.
But they're everywhere. It's not one off license. It's all over the city. It's all over the country.
Yeah, but how many people is it that's queuing up outside an off license to get alcohol?
Well, to me, one is too many. Because I'll tell you why. You have a drink problem if you have to queue up and get a drink at that hour of the morning. If you can't go a couple of hours on a plane or wait till 2 o'clock in the afternoon to have a drink, you have a drink problem. You're addicted. You're dependent on alcohol. End of story. And admit it. Oh, they only have a few, doctor. You're a raving alcoholic according to your blood sample. But I do agree with you. If the pubs are allowed to stay open and they're policed properly, there's no police on the roads anymore. I wouldn't go into town now, and I'm an ex-soldier. I wouldn't bring my wife or my son into town anymore. Dublin's not safe. Can you imagine what it'd be like with drink and drugs? It'd tear you apart.
I do remember at the time, by the way, it actually reminds me, because today is Holy Thursday, right? But I do remember when I worked in the nightclub industry, we used to look forward to Holy Thursday and Good Friday because it was the only 2 days we were closed. And but the nightclubs used it as an opportunity to get maintenance done. But I remember the guards took a dim view if you tried to open, because I worked in Club M at the time, and we decided it would be clever if we opened at midnight on Good Friday. And the guards went mad, and the guards came along and they walked in the door and they said to the manager, right, you have two choices here. You can chuck everybody out and close the doors. Or he said, legally, you can stay open. It's after 12, you can stay open if you want to. But I can tell you now, if you stay open, we'll be in here every Saturday for the next 2 years. So
I think tourists, I remember one time, Noel, we were on your show, your daytime show, and a couple of tourists rang you up and said, oh, Jesus, I couldn't get a drink in Dublin on Good Friday. I'm never coming back again. And then they relaxed the laws. Do you remember that?
That's right, yeah. Oh, well, it's only in the last 3 years that that Good Friday's been open, yeah.
Yeah. And do you remember, what hardened drinkers are, Niall. Hardened drinkers, what they did in my day was, to beat the Good Friday ban on alcohol, they got the ferry to Holyhead or the ferry to Liverpool.
That's
and
right.
And drank over and on the way back. Do you remember?
Yeah, or do you remember the boat on the Liffey, the MV Arran? Do you remember that?
Exactly. Once you were on water, you could drink.
That's
how desperate people were. But I do believe that we should go with the rest of Europe and open up at staggered time, restaurants, pubs, bar cafes, that type of thing, you know?
Yeah, but Carl, see, I kind of agree with Morris and I agree with you in a sense, but if it wasn't Ireland, like you said, Carl, you know, people in France have a drink at lunchtime and that's grand, but see, in Ireland, it's different. People can't just have a drink, they have to get pissed.
Yeah, it's because it's not available to if it's made available to them, the abuse won't be as big or as great.
Yeah.
Because it's like, how can I put it? We know they're trying to legalize cannabis at the moment, right? And everyone is smoking and they think, oh yeah, I'm doing this, I'm breaking the law, a bit of hash here. Once you legalize it, it's kind of like one part of the norm. People will abuse.
Yeah, your phone is breaking up a little bit. But I get the point you're saying, Morris. Once you do it, people will start to accept it and they'll time themselves and pace themselves and they won't, you know, scull 20 points in an hour. And Morris, you know that happens in the nightclubs in Ireland. You know, people, young people, they drink a lot in the last hour because they know they have to get it in before it closes.
Yeah. Well, you said there a while ago, Niall, I was listening to you, and how times have changed. People were turning around and going, oh, yeah, they're going out for a late night drink. They're going to the clubs now to score cocaine.
Yeah.
That's what's going on.
Yeah, there is a problem.
You know, they're getting a high there. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
You know, so I think, listen, if they get it right, and they do it properly, and it's policed properly. But at the moment, Dublin is a no-go area, as far as I'm concerned. And it shames me to have to say that about my own city. I don't feel safe in my own city. And you know, I'm an ex-army man. I take on anybody. But I tell you one thing. I got out with Dublin City one day when I was in Muir Street, and I said to my wife and son, we're gone. We're getting out of here. I did not feel safe. And this was at 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
But this piece of legislation, of course, is Helen McEntee, the Minister for Justice, is the one talking about this. Mm-hmm. And I find it bizarre that, you know, Helen McEntee, who is currently the supervisor of a very bad justice system, from what we can see, where people like you say they don't feel safe in the city, is now coming up with another plan that, according to, you know, many people, is going to make it even more dangerous.
There has to be police behind.
What do you mean, Noel?
No, because what you're basically saying in that statement there is that it's drunks that are causing the problem.
A lot of the time it is. But it is a lot of the time.
Listen, I don't go into the city because it's not my Dublin anymore. And I still live in 3 kilometres from the city, right? But I say it's not the Dublin I was reared in. My wife goes into the city centre and she says, I would not walk down Moore Street because of the gangs of Romanians. She never once mentions there's people falling out of pubs locked at 2 or 3 in the afternoon.
The vast majority of public order problems at night, I'm talking about at night, not during the day, although I'm sure it happens during the day too, but the vast majority of public order problems that happen at night are people who are drunk, Carl. Or on drugs. Or both.
I can only
go back to my own experience years ago, and I don't know what it's like now because I don't go into the city at night now, right? But my own experience years ago, when I used to come out of the nightclub when I was DJing, I'd come out with my box of records or CDs or whatever it was, and I was going to the car park. They'd be knocking the head off each other down Temple Bar, down around Dame Street, down on the Quays. They'd be boxing the heads off each other. It's the same in Limerick and Cork and Galway as well, by the way. You know, you go down to Eyre Square or you go to Patrick Street or whatever it is in Cork. They're boxing the heads off each other.
Yeah, but is it drink now, or is it drugs, or is it
a bit of both? It's a bit of both.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, we're saying it's a bit of both. Okay, so for the normal decent person who goes into the city centre and has a few pints or a few drinks with their wife or their girlfriend or their husband or boyfriend or whatever they want to call themselves, are they coming out boxing the head off each other?
Yeah, but why can't? I mean, what's wrong with going home at a reasonable time? I mean, half two in the morning is a reasonable time, isn't it? You can go out till half two if you want to.
I'd be torn over from your second sleep at that stage.
I'm still watching the telly usually at that stage. Okay, well, stay there for a second. Let me go to Breida. Breida, hi, how are you?
Hi, Niall. How are you?
Good. Breida, is this a good idea to extend the nightclubs till 6 in the morning? Now, they don't have to stay open till 6, by the way, but they can if they want to.
No. I think, like, some of the nightclubs here in the town, especially when the students are here, they're open till 3 o'clock in the morning. And then there's mayhem and havoc and shouting and roaring. And
Mantra is the big nightclub in your area there, I know it.
No, that's long gone.
Oh, is it gone? Mantra, okay.
That's gone, yeah. They're actually building apartments for students at the back of it now. They had to keep the front of the building, but the rest...
I worked in Mantra for a few years as a DJ.
I used to live there as a child now.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that was that. We had the whole house when I was a young child. Yeah, we had great fun at that house, but anyway... if you can't enjoy yourself up to whatever time at 3 in the morning, you know, like, it's enough. If you're people falling out at 6 o'clock in the morning, people are ready to go to work then, someone walks out onto the street and you're at 6 in the morning, you're still half asleep, or I could be coming home from a flight exhausted. And your reactions aren't as quick maybe as it would be, you know, an hour later when you're kind of woken up or I'd be in the bed. You know, let's stay open 24 hours then. You know, like, when is enough?
Yeah. I mean, and Carla, that's a good point. When is enough? I mean, you can't just have drink, which is a controlled substance, by the way, available, you know, 24/7, like.
No, it's available on a legal premises, hence a pub, nightclub or a hotel.
Yeah.
I'm not on about off licence being open 24 hours a day. You know, if people want
But we drink too much, Carl. We still drink too much. Per head of population, the Irish drink more than any other country in the world. We're way up there.
I'm a teetotaler.
But so am I, by the way. I don't drink either. But that's, yeah, but that's beside the point.
Carol, I enjoy a drink, but I don't drink. I could go weeks without having a drink. I just think we're encouraging a drink culture. Where it's there anyway. Like, as you said, we're known as the drunken Irish. You know, why encourage the next generation and the one behind it to continue that culture? Let's try and veer them away from it.
Karen, okay. It's not like we're trying to change it to make things worse. Like, it's not like if somebody turns around to me tomorrow and says, I think we should close the pubs earlier, I would never agree with that. So it's not like we're trying to restrict something. It's something that's already been there. We've already, you know, loosened up the laws over the last decade by allowing nightclubs to have a nightclub license, et cetera, et cetera. And, you know, got rid of the old bar extensions. They're practically gone now. So
yeah. We've
already loosened up the laws. I mean, we don't, just because Spain do it or, you know, France do it or whoever does it, doesn't mean we have to do it.
Well, look, as I said, we don't have to do it, but personally speaking, I think they should do it. I said, people will learn from it. They will learn that they don't have to go excessively drink.
Don't be ridiculous.
Look, sorry, Brenda, can I cut across you there for a second? I mean, the young people coming up today are more into drugs than drink. And it's well known. I mean, I feel young.
Yeah.
Adults here.
Yeah, I know.
They're out all the time and they say, hash, cannabis,
cocaine,
meth, whatever else.
Cocaine is cheaper than alcohol.
Is a much bigger problem than alcohol. So if they're not going to get the kicks out of alcohol, they're going to get it out of drugs. And that was going to be the ruination of this country, is the drugs. I mean, heroin decimated this country and Dublin in the 80s.
It's going to
get
a
lot worse.
But those people who are snorting the cocaine, taking the ecstasy or smoking the weed, less likely to be smoking the weed going to a nightclub, but taking the ecstasy and taking the cocaine, they're going to nightclubs, you know, with the few that are left. They're the ones coming out onto the street, you know, at 4 or 5 in the morning. So it doesn't matter, Carl, whether it's drink or drugs. It's the fact that the premises is open, which gives them somewhere to go. If there was nowhere for them to go, they might go home quietly.
That's the whole,
They'll go to a mate's place and go to an apartment, have a party. They'll always find somewhere to go, no matter what.
There was a
famous pub in town, and Noel, you'd know this, the Chinaman, up there off Stephen Street.
Yeah, I remember it, yeah.
Gone. That pub was notorious for cannabis smoking in the pub, and, you know, there was never arguments in the pub. In all the years I was there, I'd never seen an argument in that pub. Now, the pub was long gone. I never saw an argument in the pub or outside that pub. Charlie's Rock Bar was across the road. Never seen an argument there.
Okay, look, I'm looking at a chart here for the biggest drinkers in the world, right? Now, by the way, we shouldn't be too proud of this. This is not something we should be aiming for, right? Now, people in Belarus, Lithuania, and Grenada have a huge problem, by the way, and also do the Czech Republic and Russia. But we're right up there with Ireland, Luxembourg, and Slovakia, and are, 11.4 litres per year. So, I mean, that's not something we should be proud of, that we're way ahead of Germany and Hungary and Portugal and Poland and Slovenia. We're way ahead of the UK and America. We're way ahead of all those countries. You know what I mean? And we're a small little country. Like, what's our problem? Stay there for a second. Let me just go to Sean. Sean, hi, how are you?
How you doing, Niall? How are you?
You heard Breda. No way. We shouldn't be making problems worse.
Yeah, sure. Look, she's at the sign there. She's only at the wake up and she's driving the car. You shouldn't be driving the car if you're half asleep. Now, the fact of the matter is...
I'm coming home after being working all night, John. I can't have option to drive the car at home.
Yeah, well, if you feel that way, you should pull in and have a nap. Now, the fact of the matter is, Noel, we should be moving with the times, and I know that sounds stupid to you, but this will all fizzle out, Noel. See if they open till 5 a.m, say. This will eventually get to be the norm. And like, this is not going to probably be even... I'm probably never going to go out, Noel. My cut-off switch is 1 o'clock, if I've ever been out. 1 o'clock, half
Yeah,
one,
but you're eight. A bit older, Sean. Yeah. I'm talking about young people.
Yes,
you're not young.
But we're not talking about older people.
Give us a minute, will you? Yeah, give us a minute, please. What I'm saying is, Noel, the younger people, you know, it's draconian what's going on. It should be a label. Look, even 4 a.m., you know, I think that's a good cut-off point. And it's the fact of the matter is, Noel, it's the decision is there if they want it. If they don't, and you know, Noel, a lot of them won't be out till 4 a.m., but it's there. The tourists, you know, the whole lot. Sorry,
did you say something, Rita?
I just said they will be out. I mean, I live in a student town. They stay out until the last flipping minute that they have to.
Now, that's students are students, Breeda. Breeda, students are... You'll have this... Breeda, here's the fact of the matter, and you know this as well as I know this, Breeda. Students are like animals when they go out. They always were. They always will be. You know, I don't know what it is with students, but they always tend to act the animal. You know that we... they have that week out, Noel.
Rag week. Yeah.
That's cancelled here in this town because it caused so much mayhem and havoc. You know.
Well, like, should they go somewhere else and do it, Breeda? Yeah, but that's still going to happen, Breeda, somewhere else.
But it doesn't matter. I still think you're encouraging a drink culture if you have a pub or clubs open to 6 o'clock in the morning.
Okay. I have a son of 22 years of age, okay? And he goes out with his girl.
I'm 23. Right.
Yeah. Well, now, I'll give you my story first and you can give me yours. My son goes out with his pals on the weekends after doing a hard week's work. They go out, they have drinks, they have something to eat. The latest I've ever seen him coming in, Breeda, is about 1:30 in the morning. Literally. You know, now, if it was there till 4 o'clock, I don't think they even would stay out till four, but it'd be nice for the option for them if they wanted to. You know, he's not going to start going around and breaking the place up, Breeda, or falling out, as you said, into traffic or causing trouble or breaking the law just because the pubs are up until 4 o'clock, Breeda. That's absolutely, it's stupid. Like,
But hang on, it's not stupid, Sean. Okay, your son mightn't do it. But the evidence, is there. And I'm looking here, for example, and the former Minister of Justice said it. The Road Safety Authority have said it. And also there, Dr. Mary O'Mahony from the Irish Medical Organisation said.
We're always going to have that.
Sean, the sad thing is people are going to get into their cars and drive, no matter whether it's
Don't give me that bullshit. It's going to happen anyway, Breeda. Hold on, Breeda. That unit anyway, whether it's 4 o'clock in the morning or 4 o'clock in the afternoon, Breeda. So yes, don't come with me back.
Hang on a second. They're drink driving,
Breeda. It's nothing got to do with the new laws. They're going to do it anyway, Breeda. And that's the thing I wanted to say about Morris. Morris is actually, you know what I wanted to go back to Noel about Morris? Just one quick second. I do see people outside an off-license at 10:30 in the morning. Yes, I do. But I only see one or two, Noel. And you're always going to get that. And that's always been the way. As far as I can remember, Noel. I don't see
But he is right. If you're waiting outside an off-license for it to open, you have a drink problem.
Absolutely. I don't disagree with you, Noel, but we're not seeing 20 and 30 people hanging out. If you want to hear, Noel, you know this as well as I know this, and I've often done it, Noel. You know, we went to the Early House many a moon ago, Noel. I don't know if you ever went to an Early House in Cable Street. I think it's gone now. But, Noel, we went to Slattery's, I think it was, and we'd have a beer, you know. And that, Noel, was something that you'd only do once in a blue moon, you know. And it, you know...
Yeah, after a night on the lash, yeah.
Absolutely, Noel. So it's there if you want to go and get it. But it's too much hassle, you know. You got to move with the times. I don't believe it's all chaos.
Line, you got to move with the times. It's 2024. Just because another country does something doesn't mean we have to do it.
We should do it on oil. It's for the tourists. Yeah, clubs. It's for everybody.
But like, I wouldn't object to it in France, for example, the same way as I don't object to children drinking wine in France because they know how to do things in a measured amount.
Part of their culture.
Yeah, but we're different here in Ireland. We celebrate everything with alcohol. Everything with alcohol. You only have to look at somebody and it's, let's have a pint. So, you know what I mean? Like, we just drink too much. And we know that, thankfully, it's coming down a bit because young people are not drinking as much because they're probably taking drugs, as you rightly said. But either way...
Yes, I believe what the guy said. Yeah.
But, I mean, it's a good thing to see that the drink culture reducing. Now, I do feel sorry for the
light. It's not a good thing.
Now, hang on.
Going back to what the other guy said there. The reason why the younger crowds are not drinking, because they couldn't be arsed. They're getting a bag of weed and they're going sitting in the bedroom smoking it like a lunatic, you know.
Hang on. Let's speak to one of those young people. Jessica, hi.
Hello,
Jessica. Okay, happy birthday to you. Everybody sing happy birthday, Jessica.
Happy birthday to you.
I was waiting at 12 and I was like...
Oh, I'm so sorry, Jessica. We were
too... Actually, you're going to get a bottle of vodka to celebrate.
I'm not a favourite person inside girl.
Jessica's 25 today. So, Jessica, I mean, do you go clubbing at all? Or?
No, I haven't gone clubbing in ages, but that's just because I don't have the time for it anymore. But, like, if I had a stressful week at work and about a club was open till 6 o'clock from Friday night to Saturday morning, I wouldn't mind that to let me hair down. As the song goes, I like the nightlife. I like to boogie.
I love the nightlife. I like to boogie. Go.
Really proving me age now, aren't I?
Yeah. But I don't know how you remember that song. That song is a lot older than you, let me tell you. Okay, so you don't think that'll be a problem. But Jessica, you know yourself that, and I know from working in the nightclub industry for years, people come out and they have a few drinks on, and all of a sudden there's a Barney in the middle of Dame Street. You know what I mean? We don't want more Barneys in the middle of Dame Street or on the Keys or Temple Bar or wherever it happens to be.
Like, yeah, but to me, the violence on the streets and all after drinking, all, to me, that's personal responsibility and personal actions. You chose to go way over your limit, and you're choosing to pick a fight with your man on the road. I don't see how that would be a bar's fault. And like it's not like every nightclub and bar would have to stay open till 6 a.m, but they should at least have the option. Because when you think about it, the hospitality sector took a beating because of the lockdowns. And I think this would be a great way for them then to get that money probably 10 times over then from the money they lost from the lockdowns. I think it would actually be a huge boost to the economy.
And
just to point out as well, the other thing that we're not mentioning as well is, of course, is A&E. And alcohol consumption is a factor in 19.4% of people who present themselves at hospitals. So, I mean, all you got to do is go to A&E on a Friday and Saturday night in the middle of town, and you see people with cuts on their head from falling, busted eyes, busted noses from fighting. You know, it's constant.
I'm trying to
That's going to happen, Noel, you know.
You'll see an increase in that.
You see, here's the thing, Niall, and this is the fact of the matter as well. People at staggered times, as we were talking about, a lot of people would be getting home through the hours of the night, Niall, instead of everybody getting sacked out onto the street at 2:30, 3 o'clock in the morning. You know, I think that's absolutely crazy, Niall.
They'll all get
fecked
out at 6 o'clock in the morning.
I have to agree with him there, Breda. They won't all get fecked out at 6, because I can tell you now, the vast majority of people are not going to stay there till 6.
Not at all.
Yeah.
No way.
Very few people. Only the real hanger in there will stay there till 6. So what will happen is you'll have people leaving over a 4-hour period slowly rather than everybody piling out at 2:30 in the morning. I do get that point.
Noel, we'd get out of town early because I knew it'd be more than 2:30 to get a taxi. You'd be walking for hours. So I'd get out at 1:30, Noel, before the crowd would start. Because if you didn't, you'd be there till 4 or 5 in the morning trying to get home, literally, you know. So, I think it's a great idea in that sense as well, you know. So a bit of freedom. Yes, there's going to be a lot of, it's going to be a lot of messing when it starts up. If it does start up for that
month. Well, they're trying to push it through before the summer. Actually, do me a favour, because I skipped over Jackie there and Jackie's been waiting ages. Jessica, stay with me, please. Just stay there. Jackie, hi.
Hi, Niall.
Sorry, Jackie, for leaving you waiting. I should have went to you before, Jessica, but I just didn't see you on the screen there. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, well, look, at certain points were raised there by our last speaker, and the fact of, you know, where everyone is thrown out at 2 o'clock or be it 12:30 or whatever. I think this is a good thing in a sense now that if the choice is there in some venues that they can continue on for the late hour, you know, till 5 or 6. And don't forget, you have a lot of people work in different shifts. So it allows people that might be on a shift to go in and have, you know, something to drink or meet someone or whatever. And the overall picture of this, it's not going to really affect rural Ireland in a way. Galway City, Dublin, Cork, they might do this, but a lot of places will not do this because they don't have the staff, number one. They don't have the infrastructure to do this. Now, another, just to highlight another part of that bill, is got to do with cultural spaces. And it's a submission that we did in MIA come back to 2 years ago to the Justice Committee. And we're very worried about that, is the definition of what a cultural space is.
Okay.
So,
and what's your your definition of a cultural space?
Well, you see, this is this is like durable relationships.
I know. Yeah.
Or what is hate
speech? Yeah.
We're down that route, you know, because they don't have a definition on what it is. And like, okay, you look at theatres and stuff like that. They are cultural spaces. But supposing you have a venue that opens and says, right, we're doing something with tourists or we're doing a bit of traditional music here, whatever, but now we're going to do some late night, look, get a bar exemption, and suddenly they're up against some venue that's running consistently or a bar restaurant that will be putting on live music. And that is one of our main concerns, is what is a cultural space? So there is that involved. But the other thing, Niall, isn't it kind of funny that all this is happening? And I was on a program there recently about this, where this has only come to light now, and they're looking at doing a risk assessment of this. And where Charlie Flanagan came out and originally was on the side of this.
He's now against it, yeah.
And now he's against it because now what you have is Simon Harris taken over and suddenly the bank...
But he's not the only one against it. The Road Safety Authority have expressed concerns about it. The IMO, yeah. The Irish Medical Organisation, have expressed concerns about it. Now, don't get me wrong, I was all for it because I worked in the nightclub industry for 26 years, right? And I would have been one of the ones who would have been saying the legislation we had at the time was draconian. Now, mind you, it was more draconian then than it is now. At least there's nightclub licenses and stuff like that. But as I get older and a bit more conservative, I'm kind of thinking, would it really be a good thing? I don't know. Maybe let some of them open, let some of them not open. I don't know. Do we really need bars to be open to 2? But do we need bars to open to 2 o'clock? Whatever about nightclubs, which are quite specific to going out late, do we need bars to be open till 2 in the morning?
No, no, we don't.
Well, you know, again, like, should we not have the choice?
Sorry, Jessica, what are you trying to say there? Sorry.
No, I just Jessica or me.
Go ahead, Breda. Just go ahead, Breda. What do you want to say? Sorry.
No, I was just going to say, like, you know, again, you're encouraging this drink culture that we're known for. I mean, if you can't go out and have a few drinks and leave the pub when it closes at whatever, 11 o'clock at night, you know, like, Jesus, how much is enough? You know, like, I just think, you know, they're saying that they'll stagger out. I still don't think they will, Niall, to be perfectly honest with you. I think if there's music playing and they're there and they're bopping and dancing or whatever they do now, I don't know if they even dance anymore, they'll be there till it closes.
But I remember being on radio back in 2001, I think it was Minister Michael McDougall I was interviewing at the time. He would have been Minister for Justice, as far as I remember. And we were pleading with him to allow the nightclubs to open later till 4 or 5 in the morning, because of the problems that we had with people coming out of the bars and the nightclubs at the same time. And so, Breda, I know you're disagreeing with it. If they allow 6 o'clock opening, they're not all going to open to 6 o'clock because it just wouldn't be viable, right? And people, and no. Most people are not going to stay out till 6 o'clock in the morning.
No. Some of them might.
But most of them...
Niall.
Jessica, would you stay out till 6 in the morning?
If I had a really stressful week and I wanted to let me hair down a bit, I would. But most times when I go out with my mates, we'll go out early. We literally go about 7, 8, get to the place before we have to pay. And then we literally leave about 11:30, 12. You have to cut our night short. So just so that we're able to get home late.
Yeah.
Which is ridiculous. So why should we have to cut our night short just so that we're not ending up fighting for cabs like at the way home? Whereas at least if it's open till 6, we could stay out a little bit longer, let our hairs down for a little bit, have a few drinks, have our bop, have a few vapes or smokes, whatever we're doing, and then get home easy enough.
I mean, hang on, I want to go back to Jackie, because obviously Jackie was involved in the Justice Committee on this, report. But Jackie, did they, in the impact report they did on this, did they look at how people are going to get home?
Sorry, you're breaking up there.
So I'm just saying, when the report was done on this, that the report that you were involved in, did they look at how people are going to get home? Have we lost him? Are you there, Jackie? No, he's gone. Okay, well, let me. I'll come back to. I'll try and get Jackie back if I can in a second. Let me just go to John as well. John, hi. How are you?
I hope you got your Jester Easter egg.
I shall be there later on today, and I shall check for my Jester Easter egg. John, thank you very much indeed. Thank you for my Easter egg, John. John always buys me an Easter egg, but isn't he lovely? Jessica never buys me one.
I would have bought you one if I didn't know you like chocolate, Niall.
I love buttons.
I thought you were into Red Bull and they don't make Red Bull.
No, I like Red Bull and Button's Easter eggs. Just in case, Jessica or Brady, you need to know in case you want to send one in to me.
You should have said that earlier.
Oh, actually, John, hang on. Just before I come to John, I want to get Jackie to finish what he was saying. Jackie, can you hear me now?
Apologies. No.
No, I was asking. I was asking during the report that you were involved in, because Jessica makes a good point that she leaves at 11 o'clock because they've got to figure out how to get home, right? Did the impact report or the report that you were involved in, did it consider how people were going to get home? Because let's be clear about it, Dublin doesn't have the best overnight transport system.
No, but you see, again, this will be in the cities. And yeah, I mean, that is being discussed anyway, because it's an issue even for closing earlier to get taxis or to get... So they are looking at that. But just and on another point is that since COVID lockdown, the house parties really took over.
Yeah.
And that's where a lot of the issues and the off licenses and the cheap drink, that's where a lot of the problems are. And as and on another note, like if you do have, say, venues continuing on late, that's more employment as well within that sector. And don't forget, back in our day and your day, there was over 500 nightclubs in this country.
I said that,
now, we have 90, but maybe 40 that are actual nightclubs that are actually in use.
Oh, no, at one stage, we had more nightclubs in Dublin per head of population than any other city in Europe. And now I think there's 3 or 4 nightclubs left in Dublin.
Yes.
So the nighttime industry, but it wasn't just COVID. COVID was the last nail in the coffin. The nighttime industry has suffered because of a cultural change, Jackie. And the cultural change is that when I was going to the nightclubs and working in the nightclubs back in the 1980s, people left school. The vast majority didn't go to college. They went to a job at the age of 19. They had disposable income and they had money. And then all of a sudden, every kid was going to college when it came to the 1990s and the mid-1990s. So all of a sudden then, the attendance went down in the nightclubs because they didn't have money. Hence, they then start bringing in student nights. So
true. And true.
So that was a kind of big nail in the coffin, you know?
I know. And just to kind of divert slightly here, is that you have this going on in relation to that. Then you have this whole thing of Eamon Ryan and how he wants to tax people who are driving long journeys. And behind all this thing, you have the hate speech. So I'm wondering, is this just a complete and utter, where this is coming out now? It could have come out a year ago.
A distraction. A distraction.
100%. It seems to be
Okay.
Sorry,
well, it won't be a distraction on this show. Thank you for that, Jackie. Oh, by the way, Jessica, how do you get home? Do you get the vomit comet or a taxi?
It depends vomit now. If it's me and my mates that live nearby, we'll try and get the last 15. Well, not the last 15, because that's 24 hours now. So we'll get 15 up to around, like, you know, I think it's the arcane roundabout. It goes up to.
Yeah.
So kind of up that direction towards Malahide Road.
Yeah,
so
I know.
Get the bus altogether then. But if it's me and my mate from Finglas and I'm going to Finglas with them, then we're all trying to like get a taxi home. And even in Finglas, like, it can be bad trying to get a taxi.
Yeah, they used to call it that late night bus in our day used to be called the Vomit Comet.
That's right. Vomit.
Okay, let me get back to John. Sorry, I was a bit short with him there.
Pizza Express.
John, is this a good idea? I mean, look, even back in Cork's or Henry's and all those places, they were so popular back in the day. There's very few nightclubs now.
No, there's not. Just the latter point, first, as regards trying to get home, if this is implemented, right? We'd say you try and run buses, either private buses or public transport, and if that gets a bit messy, then you can always withdraw that. But as regards the taxis, right, people say the taxi might walk right through the night. Have some kind of a tax incentive, maybe, that if taxis do work after 3 o'clock in the morning, that you get some kind of a tax incentive or whatever, right? Now, I would be in favour of the nightclubs opening because, look, I went actually into places where there was music when there was real music there, right? Mm. And you come out at 2 o'clock in the morning and you wish to God there was a band playing in your head still and everyone enjoying themselves.
And your ears would be whistling all night.
Absolutely hated going home, like when they used to play the national anthem at 2 o'clock in the morning. You know,
oh, they were the days. They were the days, huh? Yeah.
And then you think to yourself, what the hell do we fucking do now? You know what I mean?
Do you remember that when they played the national anthem at the end of the night? They stopped doing that in the nightclubs. Probably, I remember back in the 1980s, right? But there were some clubs, particularly around the country, that would still play it up until the kind of mid 2000s. But you'd play the national anthem, and everyone was hammer drunk. Nobody knew the words apart from the one line, and everyone would go, "Charlie Carney, you're on." And I had a guy come up to me in Dundalk one night, and we had stopped. The boss said to me, "Listen, that's it. We're done playing the national anthem. No more national anthems. We're sick of it." Right. So after about 3 weeks, nobody really got bothered by the fact that we weren't playing it. And one guy comes up to me one night at the DJ box and goes, "What's the bleeding story with the Grand National? Are you not going to play it?" I said, "What?" He says, "You're not going to play the bleeding Grand National. Are you a Brit or what?" The Grand National. Anyway, yes, but John, I do miss the old days of the nightclubs. And I would have been the first one to say they should have been open later back in the day. But when I look at the culture now and how much we drink and I care more about young people, do I really want them open late? I don't know.
Well, the thing is, look, I mean, people are going to drink anyway. Unfortunately, people are probably drinking more than they should. But even that aside, the points being that if they're open to, like, the last time I looked, like, I never understood this, like, when you called a premises a nightclub, the whole idea was then it was a club for the night. That meant right into the late hours of the morning. So how can you call this a nightclub, like, if it starts at, it goes about a half past 1 or 2 o'clock and everyone is up on the road, buzzing, their heads buzzing off, and they're all fighting outside chippers or inside chippers or whatever. It's just too volatile, right? This idea like that, oh, they'll all be inside in the nightclub at 6 in the morning, it'll be heaving and they'll be all locked over their head. They won't. They'll all go away in different stages. And the real hangers-on, rejects, whatever you want to call them, at 6 in the morning, the body clock will kick in, the alcohol will kick in, and between both, they'll just fall out the door into a taxi and go home. It won't be the end of the world, and if it is the end of the world, they can always legislate it out of existence again.
Mm. And the idea that we're doing it because, well, every other modern city does it, is that a good enough reason?
But you know what I mean? Like all the people, especially the younger people, know they would be going to nightclubs, even though, as you said, right, you said, there's not that many of them left, right? They go away to Ibiza and everywhere else there, like you mean, and Portugal and whatever, and they're out until 4 or 5 in the morning. They're the same young people that will socialise here. We're completely out of step. As I said, I keep repeating, the idea of a nightclub is that it is open.
But what will happen is the law will be abused, right? And I'm going to give you this one, right? So, as you rightly said, there isn't that many nightclubs anymore. And nightclubs were also always differentiated from bars or even disco bars by the very fact that they stayed open later. And they had a nightclub license because they do have nightclub licenses now. But what you're going to see now is a lot of bars dickying themselves up, putting in a dance floor and a DJ box and a few lights and saying, "We're now a nightclub." And they're going to open later. So you're going to have bars now open till 3 and 4. Although the legislation says bars have to close at 2 and nightclub 6. You'll have bars identifying. Here we go again. A bar identifying as a nightclub.
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, there could be caught there because maybe that's a different process completely that you have to apply for to be an actual nightclub. Then.
Yeah, what is a nightclub? What's versus a bar? What is a nightclub?
Well, the nightclub to me, like, it's separate to a bar. It's somewhere, it's a premises that you go to, like, that outside of the normal bar that we would call the normal bar. That to me is a nightclub. So either it's in the same building, but it's separate to the bar, and then the nightclub belong to the same people, possibly the same owners, but it's just you have to go out one door and in another door.
Okay, okay, let me go to Sunil if I can. Sunil, hi, how are you?
Hi, Niall. How's it going?
Good. Now, you're in favour of this and you have a very good understanding of the bill for some reason, but we'll find out why. So, Sunil, why are you in favour of it?
Well, listen, we've been campaigning for these changes for almost 20 years. We came or emerged after the original INIA, the Irish Nightclub Owners Association, were campaigning. You would know some of the people involved.
Give us the nice. Including
John Reynolds, Robbie Fox, Jay Burke, all of these kind of trailblazers of Dublin nightlife at the time.
I was a bit of a trailblazer myself, by the way, Sunil.
National campaign as well. But what happened at the time, I think we have to kind of look at the main changes that happened to our licensing legislation. They happened, first of all, in 2000. And at that point, that's when we kind of got rid of the, you'll remember, the chicken and chips rule or the chicken curry rule, where you had to eat if you were hotel. Drinking later.
Because they operated on a restaurant license or a hotel license at the time, yeah.
Yeah, there was just, in order to be able to go later, there were certain hoops you had to jump through. And there were a lot of changes that were made then that put late bars essentially on an even level with nightclubs. And that was kind of the beginning of the end. It also put a lot more people out on the street at the one time, which kind of gave rise to these calls for staggered closing. It didn't make any... We never had any issue with pubs opening later, but what we had the issue with, and I'm sure you'll remember this, is that pubs, or that at least nightclubs, didn't get the extensions that they were looking for to separate them as a different type of industry. And you need that overlap. And we're very unique in Ireland in that we don't have a staggered closing system. Fast forward to 2008, when Dermot Ahern could have made amendments, and he could have actually left the theatre licence that was being utilised by a lot of nightclubs at the time in place. Instead, he removed what he called a loophole in the legislation. And since then, for 15 years, over 15 years now, we've been waiting for changes. Just to correct you, I hope you don't mind, but you mentioned that we have a nightclub licence or a nightclub permit. There's been a lot of talk of one, but we don't have one.
And has that not happened? Did that not ever happen?
Now.
See, I've kind of lost touch with the industry. So I thought they had eventually changed it so the nightclubs didn't have to operate, as you mentioned earlier on a restaurant or hotel license.
I think so, because there's been so much talk about it, Niall, but we're still pushing for the same things that the likes of John Reynolds, that the likes of us in the early days were pushing for. We would see this as a moderate reform.
I was part of the campaign, Sunil. I worked in the nightclub industry for 25 years, and I was part of the campaign. Give Us the Night, wasn't that the name of the campaign, as far as I remember?
Yeah, it is the name of the campaign.
Yeah.
We're still going.
Yeah, okay. And are you working in the industry yourself, Sunil?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I DJ. That's my profession. I'm playing in Dublin tomorrow night. I'm playing in West Cork on Sunday night. I play regularly abroad. I start playing sometimes at 6 a.m. in the morning in other
countries. But here's the thing. I feel you've lost out. Because when I say you've lost out, I think you're a lot younger than me, Sunil. I don't know how young you are or how old you are, right? But I think you've lost out. I was around at the best time, the 80s, the 90s, and the early part of 2000, where the nightclubs were busy, particularly, say, the end of the 80s and into the 90s. The nightclubs were busy 5 nights a week. You'd all the big clubs. I worked in Club M for 18 years. I worked in Coco's. I worked in Faces. I worked in all the big clubs, to Mango. They're all practically gone now. All the big nightclubs are really gone. We had Night Owls, Break for the Border, Bad Bob.
I remember them all.
There were so many nightclubs. As I said earlier on, we've more nightclubs per head of population probably than any other city in Europe. But all of a sudden, the industry just, the COVID was the final nail in the coffin. But I think there's a lot of other reasons.
Well,
there's a cultural change, isn't it?
Yeah, listen, the industry imploded, particularly with when the changes were made in 2008, but then we moved into a recession. And at that point, it was like a domino effect. Overnight as well, there were additional costs that were added.
It was happening before that, Sunil. It was happening.
Costs were doubled at the time. And that's also coming in tandem with escalating insurance costs. So it was a perfect storm to really destroy the nightclub industry. And again, some of the changes that we're looking for now are changes that were proposed back in the 1990s. And I heard Jackie mention there earlier about Charlie Flanagan, who had come out and in opposition to these changes. The amendments that he brought to the Dáil back in 2008 to Dermot Ahern at the time was to create a specific nightclub permit or nightclub license where nightclubs would only be able to open between 10 o'clock at night and 4 o'clock in the morning, whether that meant then that they left at 4:30. But at the time, that would have been appropriate. So the fact that he was a champion of the nightclub industry then, when he perhaps had local nightclub operators and the association approaching him, versus now when there's very little nightlife left in Laois. I mean, I heard about Mantra nightclub earlier. Breida was talking about it.
I worked there,
Reminisce, or I don't know if she laments the loss of Mantra, but she reminisced about good times she had in Maynooth in her younger days. I mean, there's no nightclub in Maynooth anymore. There should be. There's a huge student population there. That has to be rectified. We need a nightclub in Maynooth. There's a lot of counties, let alone towns. There's a lot of counties now that are down to their very last nightclub. And we know a lot of this is about demand. And
where are the big nightclubs in Dublin now? Is Club M still there, by the way? In Blooms?
Club M, actually, now that you say, it's still lying there. It's not doing much. A lot of people are wondering what's going to happen with it next. I think there's a lot of, like, operators and, you know, owners of these spaces that are looking at the license.
Tomango is another one that's just sitting idle at the moment. It's still there, by the way.
It is sitting. It's one of the few. I mean, Tomango's gets used a bit, but not as a weekly nightclub anymore.
Yeah, I worked there for years. I worked there. It was my first nightclub working one, actually. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, there's a few. Obviously, there's a hardcore street venues. I mean, there's another argument as well about, you know, would you move nightclubs and nightlife out to more kind of industrial areas or areas outside of the centre and urban areas where there's already a lot of activity? Like, we would definitely feel that, and it was mentioned by some of your callers earlier, that if you don't force people into having to leave a venue at a certain time, that they will just find the time. And the venue themselves will find their own sweet spot as well. Staffing was mentioned earlier. At the moment, okay, and Jackie mentioned 90 nightclubs. We're at about 90 nightclubs now. We calculated, and we did a lot of public talks over the last month or 6 weeks. Generally, we would see it as being about probably 10%, 10 to about 10 to 15 nightclubs in the entire country at the moment, who are kind of figuring that they will go later. Most venues just want to have that flexibility.
When you say there's 90 nightclubs, are they dedicated nightclubs or are some of them late bars?
No, they're not late bars. We have a way of calculating it, that they're specialist venues with advertised lineups that are events driven, that charge a ticket price in on the door, that have a sufficient amount of dance floor space. And you mentioned earlier, like, what would constitute a nightclub? You're going to have 20% of your public space has to be a dance floor. I mean, some proper nightclubs, and I was in one the other week in Electric in Galway, nearly all of their space is a dance floor, so they'll have no problems. And also, you have to have your own front door entrance. You can't access the nightclub through an existing daytime licensed business or venue.
Okay, so there's regulations around all that. So in other words, what you're saying to me is, if they bring in this legislation of 2 o'clock for bars and 6 for nightclubs, you're not going to have late bars kind of re-identifying as nightclubs.
No, they'll have to. If they did want to do that, and there's nothing to say that many of them will, but if they did, they would have to tick a lot of boxes in relation to planning. I've spoken to one particular licensing solicitor about this, and she's been consistent on this. She says that her issues in terms of, like, getting licenses granted, etc., the problem is never with licensing, especially these days. It's always with planning, and planning will be the undoing of a lot of people's applications. And, you know, there's a lot of stakeholders who will have input into the renewal process and the application process. Hopefully those applications will be yearly now rather than monthly, but there will be a very rigorous application process before anyone can get a nightclub permit. So
just before I finish up with you, do you think we'll ever see, you know, the 80s, 90s and the early part of 2000, that kind of era of the nightclub, that popularity of the nightclub, where people went for the music and the drink was an optional extra? And by the way, I think a lot of it's to do with as well the music. Music is so fragmented now, it's so diluted. Whereas in those days, there was specific music that was popular. Everybody knew the same specific music. Everybody went to the clubs for the same specific music, be it was house or whatever, or techno or wherever it was at the time. Or back, if I go right back to my days in Rumours, it was Acid. So everybody went for the specific music at the time and enjoyed. Everybody knew the words of the songs or the music or whatever it happened to be. But that kind of all changed. And I think that was a huge part of it as well. That was a part of the decline, the cultural decline.
I know. I mean, I suppose it depends how involved you are in it. I mean, there's some styles of dance music coming through now that I wouldn't be a huge fan of. But I do look at it. I do analyse it. I look, like, there are still tribes. There are still groups that go out, that stay together, that know all of the music, know all of the tracks that are being played. And, you know, it just is a little bit smaller than it used to be. And it's maybe even fashion styles don't stick out in the same way that they used to, where you'd see a rocker, a raver, you know, a hip-hop head, like in goth wear or makeup. You know, it's changed a little bit in that way. I mean, I think sportswear, but kind of like mild sportswear, you know, it's not the baggy kind of, you know, sportswear that it used to be in the past. It's sort of, I don't know the best way of putting it, but like, I suppose those who are into dance culture don't stick out or stand out as much in the crowds as they used to. But it's happening. I mean, club music in a lot of ways has never been more popular in terms of electronic music. It's filling venues like the Tree Arena. It's filling the RDS. It's
well, it's quite nostalgic when you see what's filling the Tree Arena. It's like gigs that have people like, you know, Two Unlimited and Technotronic.
As well,
yeah.
Throwback stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, listen, Celine, it's been nice talking to you. Thank you very much indeed for clarifying all that for us. I appreciate it. Let me just go to Lorenzo before I finish as well. Lorenzo, hi, how are you?
Hi, Dan, how are you?
Good, Lorenzo. You're from, obviously, in Italy. They open later than they do here.
Yeah, they... Usually, when I was going to the rock disco that I was going to, we were getting in around 11, half 11, usually.
Mm-hmm.
And then inside.
And what time would you leave us?
Probably half 3,
okay.
4.
Okay, so you wouldn't say, what time were they allowed open till, by the way?
Well, I think until 5 with no problem. It's just that usually, obviously, after a certain time, they were like starting to turn on more on the lights,
yeah,
or things like that,
yeah, which just wasn't viable to stay open later. I can't get you, yeah,
yeah, no, but even the, I mean, I remember even the music, obviously, up until a certain time was for everyone, and then after a while was a bit more specific. So, like, if you like that music, you were staying in. If you didn't like, you were staying in for other 5, 10 minutes, 15 minutes maximum, and then go away. Like, but I think that before 3, you were not still leaving the place.
Yeah,
To go home, like.
And do you think it's a good idea? I mean, look, we haven't had that in this country. 2:30 is the kind of limit in this country. Do you think it's a good idea for us to open later? Because let's be clear about it. We do, we're way ahead of Italy when it comes to our drink culture.
Well, but I think that the problem here is the same as the culture in the pub. When the pub is closing, you're basically calling for the last drink. So then you have this kind of river of people going to the bar, getting 2, 3, 4, 5, 10, 20 drinks to get them the time to, you know, to be able to buy them and then drink them in the next time. And that is the same. I mean, it would be, I'd say that might be more the problem or than the time of closing pub or the disco, because if you don't say anything, there will be no people rushing to drink, get savagely drunk, and then go on the street completely drunk that they can't near.
Yeah, no. Maybe you're right. That's what Irish people do, because we know we've only got a short amount of time to do it in. We binge drink. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, exactly. So there's no point to do that. Like, so maybe moving the time to 6, you don't get to that point, because by 4, half 4, you're already drunk, you're tired, you want to go home, so there will be no rush to get another drink, because otherwise they close. You'll be already tired by 5, I'd say, that you want to go home then.
No, absolutely. Listen, Lorenzo, thank you. I have to cut you a little bit short. I do apologize. I'm running out of time, but thank you very much indeed, Lorenzo. Lorenzo's got a point, and probably most people have a point. I think we have to bite the bullet. And, you know, I would be a complete hypocrite to say that I'm completely against this, because, like Sunil, I fought for years. I was part of the Give Us a Night, or Give Us the Night campaign at the time, where we demanded that the nightclubs be allowed to open later and differentiate them from bars to get their business back and get that culture. Because for all those young people out there who have never experienced that culture, it's an amazing culture. It was a wonderful time back in the 80s and 90s. And I know I'm reminiscing a little bit. But I also say as well, by the way, to Sunil, if he's still listening, bring back the slow set. I know that's a bit outdated, but it was a good reason for lads and ladies to want to go to a nightclub, to meet somebody, and the slow set gave them that opportunity. Thank you to everybody who got involved in the topic. Don't forget, support the show. You can download the podcast for this topic after the show at about 3 or 4 o'clock this afternoon. And don't forget, go to our website. You can download all of the episodes. You can watch them all on video as well if you subscribe or donate. Remember, we need your donations. We need your subscriptions. So please help us. We got one or two comments and voice notes just in relation to this, by the way, that I want to just read out and play, and then we're just going to move on because I know there's some people waiting there. I'll come to the WhatsApp in a second. I'll just read them out for you. Oh, there it is there. I do apologize. Just wasn't opening up for me. Some of the comments coming in says, harebrained idea, but they're only thinking of the extra revenue. As healthcare workers, this will only put more pressure on the already strained system. Yeah, I can see why that would happen. Maybe just play a WhatsApp voice note for you here.
How are you, Niall? Not P. I think I'm getting jealous now, me calling P all the time. Excuse me, I'm the host. My name is Niall Boylan, not P, the fucking producer. So hello, Niall, me old pal. Just be on the safe side. Niall, no, nightclubs, no. Stay the way they are. Don't be opening them all night. It's a recipe for separations. It's a recipe for divorces. It's a recipe for trouble in the houses. No, no. Cheers, cheers, pal. I talk to you later.
There's something wrong with him. Anyway, years from now, there'll be a new law to take more of our freedoms because of the crime epidemic they'll have created. And that comes in from Jesus on X. And Malice says, I used to be part of a part-time barman on Good Friday. Was our outing day. It was the only day of the year that we could actually get could have a staff social. When you were serving drink all of the time, you've no problem relaxing with a 7-Up. Those who came after me have been robbed of their staff day out. Christmas is for family. That's, of course, in relation to Good Friday. So thank you for getting involved in the topic. Don't forget, as I said, please go to our website, www.nileboylan.com, and donate or subscribe if you can to help us to continue to provide this platform for you every single day.